Welcome to Wretched Radio. And before we get to Witness Wednesday, I wanted to quickly say to those of you who may have heard a missed edit in yesterday's episode of Wretched Radio, I sincerely apologize. That's all totally on me, and it's not something I take lightly. We value each and every one of you, and thank you for the time you give us every day on Wretched Radio. And now, let's get out to the campus.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
At our church, we have people repeat a prayer who want to place their faith in Christ.
Jesus did all the hard part. He did everything but pray your prayer.
I'm going to ask you just to pray with me right now. Just say these words with me.
You can say those words every day for the rest of your life and die and be separated from God.
The scripture does not say that Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel and said that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, who would like to ask me into their hearts?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And you thought postmodernism had only infiltrated Western religions. This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday. Going to take you downtown Atlanta. Ran into a fellow who is thoroughly postmodern, believing all roads lead to God. Your truth is your truth. Hey, if you'd like to join my clique, that's all it is. But we're all ultimately going to end up in one great big happy place once we die anyway. So no harm, no foul. Now, you might be thinking, okay, well, that's pretty much a typical Western kid. He could be a Christian because we know that postmodernism has made its way into evangelical thinking. Totally incompatible with the Christian worldview. Nevertheless, it's made its way in. Maybe you're thinking, oh, well, this could be somebody who's a secularist, who's postmodern. Prepare to meet a surprising postmodern.
Guess. Go ahead and guess what we are going to talk about. This is Tim. Tim, your worldview, do I call it a religion, is?
Hare Krishna. Right. Hare Krishna movements, or ISKCON, officially known. International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
Got it. All right. Now, you're going to explain to us what your religion is all about. Let's start with what these folks are doing down here. Bells and drum and some chanting. What's happening?
Yeah, we are chanting the holy names of the Lord. You know, we just come out here and we chant the names of God through the Hare Krishna mantra, which the full mantra is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare means the energies of God, and Krishna means God, and Rama is another name for God. So we're acknowledging all the energies of God and just trying to spread his glories. And if we are chanting, we are always thinking of him.
All right, so you said that the Hare Krishna God is Rama?
Krishna.
Krishna.
But he goes by many names. So God, you know, has become himself many, so he goes by many names. We call him Krishna in his original form. We go by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, and in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna comes, and he speaks Bhagavad Gita, so that's the text we follow. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they're ancient Indian texts, go back about 5,000 years.
Now, how do you know that those they're old, 5,000 years? How do you know that they're true?
Well, I mean, of course, nobody can say this is, you know, you're not going to be able to prove it 100%. Nobody's ever going to be able to prove our religion 100%. But through research, I did research for many years on all religions, and that's what brought me to this book. You know, I had it in my collection for many years, and then I eventually read it, and it confirmed everything for me personally. It had everything in there that I had already read. And it had the answers for me also. I mean,
what were the questions you were asking?
What is, you know, what is God? What is life all about? What is...
Well, let's stop right there. Okay, so what is God?
God is the reservoir of all pleasure. He is love. He is everything. He is all the energies in the world, but he resides in our heart, you know? You would say God is everything. If there is a God, you would say he was everything, and... So
without being cheeky, is Krishna the lamppost or a piece of the pavement?
Yeah, we would say, yes, he is. It is his energies. We believe Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, so he also has a personal form in his own abode, which, you know, some might call heaven, you know, and or this or that comparative. But, you know, everything is his energy. So, yes, the lamppost is his energy.
So it's a pantheistic religion. Panentheist.
No, I would say no. It's monotheistic. We believe he is the supreme person. But obviously, his energy pervades everywhere, right, throughout the material world and spiritual world.
All right. Now, the other question that you were asking is, what's the point? So, according to Hare Krishna, what is the purpose of all of this?
The purpose of being in this human form is to connect back with God. You know, we have the mind, we have the intelligence to reconnect. We have the ability to think and question, you know. So we have
Krishna, the creator?
Yes, of course, okay, yeah.
So you are a creation of Krishna, and the goal is to get back.
Yeah, we need to go back to the spiritual world, you
know? So I'm just curious. What is the point of that? So I'm just trying to understand. So he made you, put you here to get back to him. Why didn't he just keep you with him?
Yeah, well, it was by our own design that we actually came to the material world. You know, we had some kind of desire to, you know, enjoy. You know, we thought we could enjoy without Krishna for some reason. So he, you know, he grants us, you know, the ability to do what we want. You know, we have, you know, free will to some degree, you know. So he lets us enjoy here if we want, and he gives us the opportunity to go back too, you know, if we want to acquire the knowledge.
Yeah, and so how do I get back to him? Is it the knowledge?
No, we just have to, we practice bhakti yoga, which there's many kinds of yoga, physical yoga, spiritual yoga. So we practice bhakti yoga, which means devotional service. So we just try to perform devotional service to God through chanting, dancing, eating food that we serve to the Lord. So that's our main process, chanting his holy name, which is remembering.
All right, I'm curious then. I'm not a Hare Krishna. I'm a Christian. What's my fate?
If you believe in Lord Jesus wholeheartedly, then you're going to get the most benefit out of that, because we believe Jesus is the most perfect spiritual master.
But he's not Krishna.
He is not Krishna. You would say, well, you know, Jesus says he is the Son of God. He speaks to his Father. And
so do you think he's a son of Krishna?
Well, yeah. I mean, he is you could say he is a spiritual master. So if you're following the spiritual master, you're following Krishna also.
Okay. So what happens to me when I die? Have I made it back to Krishna through Jesus?
It depends if you're thinking of him at the time of death. If you're, you know, thinking of him throughout your life and practicing devotional service and you are trying to serve him, and if you are thinking of him when the time comes, then yes, you can go back.
But home. If I'm not?
If you're not, then you might take another body at the time of death.
So it's a reincarnation religion.
Yes, reincarnation is explained in Bhagavad Gita.
So Jesus said, I am the definite article, the way, the truth, the life. And the Bible also says that you can't make up a God, whether fashioning it out of a piece of material or even in your mind. So Jesus seems to be rejecting the multi-path system. Was he wrong?
Well, Jesus, like I said earlier, we believe Jesus is the most perfect spiritual master. And we have a practice of taking a spiritual master. And we follow him like wholeheartedly, like our founder, Srila Prabhupada.
That's right.
Yes, right. Prabhupada. He came here when he was 70 years old just to spread this knowledge on directions from his spiritual master. It's like a line of masters and disciples, you know. So we treat Jesus as a perfect spiritual master. So we believe that statement that you just said, that he is the way. So if you follow the teachings of Jesus as it is without your own interpretation, it's going to be perfect. It is the perfect way.
But he also said that all of the other religious systems are false. It's a clear claim that one is correct, all the others are wrong. So as a Hare Krishna, how would you figure out those words of Jesus rejecting all other religious systems and claiming he's it?
I don't know the specific verse you're talking about. I would like to know it. I would like to know it word for word before I actually give a comment on it, because I'm just going to be guessing, you know.
I would like to know what it says exactly,
and then I would be able to give a comment on it.
I would like to know.
I'll stick with that one verse. I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes unto the Father but through me. He also said in that same book called John, that he and the Father are one. In other words, it wasn't a claim to being a perfect spiritual teacher. It was a claim to deity.
Yeah.
He claimed that he was God himself, and that all of the other religious systems are dead ends. So how do you kind of override that clear teaching and say, you can choose him or not? When he said, if you don't choose me, then you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell.
Well, we, like I said, we believe that this, we treat the spiritual master as, you know, the closest representative to God that we can get in this material world. So I believe his statement is true. I do believe that
he is God.
He is. Not that he is necessarily the supreme personality. Even if he's not, it's irrelevant, because if you follow his teachings as it is stated, then you're going to get the most benefit in your life.
It does not get any more postmodern than that. Who would have thought? From a Hare Krishna. Does nobody ever hold to the truth these days? The world doesn't. We Christians should. Nevertheless, you are going to run into that philosophical worldview. I don't care to whom you witness. They are so infected by the disease of postmodernism. How do you get around it? And the answer, I think, is you don't. I think you need to cut through it with something supernatural and true. So that is what we will endeavor to do. We'll continue our conversation with Tim, the postmodern Hare Krishna. You know, there used to be a day when somebody didn't need that many labels to understand what their actual religious perspective was. We'll continue on a Witness Wednesday with postmodernism and Hare Krishna next on Wretched Radio.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Most of us haven't really thought about persecution, not the real kind, not the kind where following Jesus actually costs you something. But Christians throughout history have indeed faced it. And depending on where things are headed, we might too. So what does the Bible say you're supposed to do when the pressure mounts? That's exactly what our resource, Persecution, is all about. It's teaching built on the book of 1 Peter with historical context from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Persecution, available now on Fortis Plus. Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture. And if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Conflict. That's not an if in your life, that's a when. You will most definitely disagree with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your in-laws, maybe all of them in the same week. That's what our resource conflict is all about. Todd Friel and Dr. John Street will both challenge you to respond in ways so radically biblical that even the people you've been fighting with will take notice. Conflict is streaming right now on Fortis Plus for free. Just download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.com.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ding, 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 ding. Who's there? A postmodern Hare Krishna. This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday. There I am walking the streets of Atlanta. I hear the cacophony of clattering cymbals. And you know the sound. It's the sound of Hare Krishnas. They go out onto the streets as their form of, well, I wouldn't want to call it evangelism, but it sort of is. They believe that if they can get Hare Krishna stuck into somebody's noggin, that's actually helping somebody. You just repeat that mantra, and then you will be pleasing Hare Krishna. You will be pleasing to the great big deity, whoever that might happen to be. And so that is why you'll see Hare Krishnas out in the streets. They're not really intent on converting you into Hare Krishnaism. They'd simply like to attach their tenets to your system. Why? Because it appears postmodernism, it is latched onto Hare Krishnaism-ness as much as it has any other worldview. So let us continue our conversation with Tim, the postmodern Hare Krishna. I had to figure out a way. How do I deal with this mess? Because that's basically what it is. And the answer is the same. I don't care if it's a postmodern Roman Catholic, if it's a postmodern Buddhist, it makes no difference. We must ultimately get to the gospel.
Would you agree that we are sinners?
Most definitely, yeah. Okay.
Well, we got some agreement there. Okay. Yeah, so what is sin?
Sin is just surrounds us in this material world, just being in this material world. This material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, you know? It's like,
but
everything here
sin?
Is like an illusion, you know, to what, you know.
Do you sin?
Of course.
Okay, so, like, without, like, opening up the books, what would be a sin that you've committed?
I don't know, like, offending people is a sin, you know? And it's like, we don't
lying.
All agree sometimes. Yeah, lying, you know, everyone lies sometimes, and,
What about, say, lust?
Lust, yeah, that's a big one, you know?
Okay, so you've done those things like I've done
those
things.
Yeah, we've all have, yeah.
So how does Krishna settle that score? See, because from Christianity, Jesus said, look, you deserve God's wrath and judgment because you've sinned, but he's made the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, as a payment for our sins. So I can be forgiven and I can be reunited with God because of what Jesus did. What is the salvation method to have your sins forgiven as a Hare Krishna?
Bhakti. Bhakti, which is devotional service. Just serving him, you know? We're always going to have sin. And of course, the law of karma is explained in Bhagavad Gita too. As we do things, we take on negative and positive effects. So, but to get rid of those effects, we perform devotional service and we serve the Lord. So through that process and through the process of chanting, which is bhakti, we expel these aspects of karma,
right, good and bad.
Once again, I'm not trying to be like cheeky about
this. Of
course,
we're just talking.
But let's say I just lusted. How much singing do I need to do to make that go away?
Yeah, I mean, that's not like a specific thing I could say. You know, we do the best we can to try to serve, you know. And if we're just, we try to... there's 9 processes of bhakti, you know, and the first one is hearing, which includes reading, you know, so we try to learn and we try to hear from our spiritual master. And so the second one is chanting, so we try to chant. And then you have like remembering, you know, you try to remember God, you know, through chanting we remember, we're glorifying, it's like a connection, you know, we connect with God.
So could I rightly summarize Hare Krishna as a works righteousness system?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in a general sense, because yeah, we practice devotional service, and that can be on a basic level, though, just through reading. Just through reading the text is a form of bhakti, you know?
But yeah. I do something to inherit reuniting with Krishna.
Yeah, I mean, you're holding the pamphlet right there, and you're getting benefit just by seeing, you know, you've said Hare Krishna many times in this interview, and I believe that you're going to get a lot of benefit from that just because we're discussing about God, you know. We're both going to get most benefit from that.
That's pretty mystical sounding.
Well, God is mystical, obviously. If he's everything, he has to be mystical, you know.
Give me your best pitch, and I'll, in a pithy way, I'll give you mine, and we'll call it a day, shake hands, and be friends. Go.
The goal of Bhagavad Gita and all religion is love of God, and that's what we need to try to achieve in this life. So love of God is the final answer, really. Love of God.
Okay. Here's my shot. God is one, and he has laws because he's holy, perfect, righteous, and just. And anybody who breaks his laws, he will make sure that justice is served by punishing them. We are hopeless unless we have a payment for our sin debt. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, that's the Elohim in Genesis, being gods, referred to their Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ willingly sacrificed his life on behalf of sinners as the payment, the ransom for our sins, so that we can inherit eternal life. So my offer to you would be, Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, trying to work your way and appease God through works, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And you can actually inherit eternal life exclusively through Jesus Christ and his works by grace alone if you will repent and put your trust in him and reject all other systems. That's my pitch.
I'm going to agree with that whole statement, except for maybe the last statement, all other systems. There are benefits you can see in other systems. Maybe you have a preferred method. No one is this. Everybody's different. I know exactly what you're saying. You know, it's the classic argument that Jesus is the only way. But you're not going to convince anyone out there if you're really dogging on them, telling them they're going to hell. So you got to try to uplift them, which I think you're doing a good job of.
Do you know the first and second commandments in the Ten Commandments?
I couldn't name them off the head. You know, I've studied them, but...
I am the Lord your God. You will have no other gods before me, right? And you shall not make a graven image of me. Now, that can be done fashioning a god with your hands or with your brain. You make up a god that isn't the God of the Bible. Those first two commandments, Tim would say, all other systems aren't correct. That is the only system. Now, that is either true or false, but it's not an optional tack-on to Hare Krishna. So my encouragement to you would be either reject Christianity totally or repent and put your trust in Jesus and reject the other systems. Because I don't think Jesus gives us the option to just pick and choose.
I understand the argument. You know, it's kind of like the eternal debate between Christianity and every other religion. It's just, you know, it's just kind of a hard debate because, you know, you have the text, you have translations, you have all this whole timeline of, you know, where are these
but
things...
But you've got the same issue that I've got, right?
I know.
Yeah. And I've got about almost 6,000 partial, fragmented, or whole manuscripts that are dated very close to the actual events. So I would say this. The Bible we can know is accurate. That doesn't mean it's true, but it is accurate. So the question really then becomes, surrounds Jesus. Did he really die and resurrect from the dead, claiming to be your only way of salvation? Or was he lying? Or was he nuts? Pretty much the only option. So again, just an encouragement to you would be, either receive Jesus Christ as your Savior or reject him. But he doesn't give you permission to just add him on as a good teacher.
That's fine. I mean, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to agree with you because
but,
I love you.
But
I believe Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, okay. Which, just being, it's not Krishna, it's like Krishna, he's just a name of God, so.
All right.
It's like, We're gonna just keep going back and forth.
That's right. Yeah. Read the Gospel of John, see what you think.
I've read it.
Sweet.
I've read it. I'll read it again. But I have read it, and I do believe in the Bible. I had a Bible study going with me and my mom, actually. We were reading the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita. We were reading first the Bible. And then, because she's just like you, she's not into this stuff at all, but I was like, let's see it comparatively. And so we would read it, we would read the exact same things in Bhagavad Gita, and I would be able to show her that, you know, these teachings are universal teachings. Because if you tell me that God is only for this group of people and he doesn't care about anyone else, obviously he cares about everyone. Yeah. And he's trying to spread, you know, throughout the whole world. He is God, he can do anything, so.
All right, so we're going to part disagreeing, but I understand you better. You
know, I don't think we disagree. I think we agree. You disagree with me,
yes,
I agree with you.
All right, Tim.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right, have a good day. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, mate.
All right, see you.
See you.
Thanks
Goodbye.
A lot.
Well, that was a little bit awkward in the end because I did not want to give him the impression that I agreed with his worldview in any way, shape, or form. So he blessed me, but I couldn't return that favor. Postmodernism, it is everywhere. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.